Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Sung, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" The third stanza, "When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?" I'd like to read part of the message of the Lamb of God as he gave it to the church, seven churches of Asia, and reading again from the church at Pergamos. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. "To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it. Let's pray also that we will be one with, especially, that last description. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Let's pray for the Spirit's teaching, and then the witness of the Spirit that is here described. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given. We also give thanks that we can come with His name to ask for what is needed. And Father, as the Lord Jesus told us in teaching us that prayer called by His name, that, Father, You know our needs before we ask. And we pray that we may not think that we were heard because of our much speaking. But we do want, Father, to give thanks. We do want to give glory to Thy name. We do want, as we have been taught, to speak and to ask, "Thy name be hallowed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we pray that especially in our time of falling away, the time of terrible things happening in so many different ways, that, Father, we beg of Thee that we might be called to repentance, that we might be called to humbleness, that we might be called to obedience through Christ, and to know, as Paul could say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And as Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, to those before Thy ascension, to tarry in Jerusalem until they be strengthened with power from on high, we pray that the church might be given that strength again to overcome the flesh in ourselves, and then to overcome the world round about us. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing on Thy word wherever it is heard. We pray that many laborers might be called to bring that word to those that do not hear it. Many places, Father, even in our own nation, where there is not a place to worship in truth, in the Spirit. And we pray, Father, that there might be laborers called that will be there and lead, that many might be able to assemble themselves together and to rightly seek Thy face, to pray and to learn of Thee, to be made one through the preaching and the teaching of the Word, all because of Christ. We ask, Father, for Thy blessing on those that need the healing hand in the body, those in sickness and injury. We pray for the schools to be taught, where the lies are being taught. We pray, Father, for homes that are broken and troubled. We pray that some might be rightly established and continue, and those that have not continued, that they might be restored, that there might be repentance toward one another, and toward, especially, Father, toward Thee, through Christ. We pray for the children in those troubled homes. We pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the older ones, the lonesome, the suffering, the different needs, Father, that are there. And again, we can come to One who knows every need and who can meet every need through Christ, in whom we give thanks. Amen. As we look once again at this letter, we have looked at it already few times. There are many things in that letter, both from Christ, the One that has a sharp sword with two edges, cuts both ways. It can cut also and thankfully heal. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Conviction also comes by hearing, as we think of those on the day of Pentecost were pricked in their heart when they heard the Word. Christ there in their midst doing that through Peter and the other apostles. Here the Lord Jesus is telling John to write and describing him as that One with the sharp sword with two edges, that coming out of his mouth. Also Satan is there. He mentions that where Satan's seat is. We have that also today. Many places where there is actually a worship of Satan. Maybe use the name of God, but not truly according to the Word. And as was stated here earlier, another letter, they say they are Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. And that is sadly true today, too many places. We need to question, ask, and cry out for reviving where the church is still alive, and for total teaching and change where it has a name that it lives and is dead, as one of the church's father in these letters. But coming to the last part now, the last 2 weeks we looked much at Balaam casting a stumbling block, leading them to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols, and then with it, so thou hast them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I've heard pastors say that was Arminianism. I'm not sure where he got that. Others say it's much the same as what the doctrine of Balaam is, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam, both in those evil ways of immorality. And then the Lord Jesus says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. When we read fight against them, he doesn't say fight against you. Evidently it isn't the whole church that's guilty of this sin. He said, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. It may have been something like the church at Corinth, where there was one who was guilty of fornication, and they were reproved that they didn't put such a one out and exercise discipline in the church. And that probably has to be done here too. There are some that are not guilty with others that are. Sometimes the whole church is guilty, sometimes part of it. And when part of the church is guilty and there is not discipline, then the danger is there that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and they all become guilty at a later date. Here, Christ simply says through John, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. We don't know how he was going to do that. If it was just going to be in strong reproof, like he said later to the church at Laodicea, the last of the seven churches, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. What a blessing it is if he does that. Much greater blessing than to say, depart from me, I never knew you, as he will do on the day of judgment to some, described in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Here he says, I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He has the mouth of truth, only truth, always truth. There are some who say that Christ said he wasn't the Son of God. That's a lie. He is the Son of God, and we can read it all through Scripture. He is one with the Father. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, took on him the form of a man, and did go to the death of the cross. Again, other than what some would say of him. These things are true. It's a fact of history. Some would say, well, what the Bible tells us has been changed and is not really right. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And here we can see Christ speaking to John and telling him, write to this church, write to that church, write to another church. The Lord Jesus speaking from heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, as Stephen saw the heavens open and saw him there at that time standing on the right hand of the Father. The psalmist spoke of it long before that, said that he would sit on the right hand of the majesty on high till he made his enemies his footstool. And one day he will do that. Everyone, some in grace and time, others in judgment when he comes again. But everyone will find that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, that he is the Son of God. As he said, God gave his only begotten Son. And as he said to one of the earlier churches here, these things saith the first and the last. Nobody's going to outlast him. He'll outlast them all. All the prophets that have spoken differently are dead. They're gone. He is on high. He is coming again. And we must proclaim his name. It is through his name that there's forgiveness of sins. It is in his name that we must hear his word and repent. And that's what he is doing here to them and to us. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He might use the sword of nations, the sword of civil strife, as in many nations today. Many nations even of what is called one religion, terribly divided, one against another. Terrible, terrible strife. Awful, 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 awful. All in the name of a God. But not from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he says to them and to us, in the 17th verse of the second chapter, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He ends every one of the letters with those words, and then gives a different thing of having them overcome, a different promise to those who do overcome. And here, after stating that the Spirit is speaking to the churches, plural, each one of the seven, and all of the churches since that time, including us who can read this today. If we have a true church, then this word has a message for us. As Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Yes, God describes the problems, but he has the answer, instruction in righteousness. And that's what we have here. To him that overcometh will I get to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. There are some things that we can do together, some things that we can hear together. We can hear each other sing. We can hear each other read. We can hear each other pray. But when it comes to the witness of the Spirit, each one of us must have that directly from Christ and from God by the witness of the Spirit himself. As Paul writes to the church at Rome, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And here it's described as, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. There was, in the history of Israel, the revealed manna. God sent it. It was laying on the ground. They could go out and gather it. First they did wrong. They gathered too much. It spoiled. Some of them didn't gather it on Saturday, the double moon. They went out on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, and wanted to gather. It wasn't there. God gave it 6 days, and then in the end, he told them to put some in a pot for a memorial, and Paul speaks of that, even writing to the Hebrew Christians. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Those things were in the Holy of Holies. First mentioned was the pot that had manna. Then Aaron's rod that budded, the rod that he went to Egypt with and did wonders, and then the tables of the covenant, God writing his holy laws on two tables of stone. all there. They were to be kept. And here, Paul writing to the church of Hebrews later, after Christ's ascension and death, talks about that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, but the blood of Christ did. But he also refers to the things that were a type of Christ, and manna was certainly one of them. In the life of Christ here on earth, Gospel of John, we read the people wanting a sign from Christ. They asked him, and it's recorded in John chapter 6, verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They said, Moses did this. God gave at that time. Now what sign do you give? And here's the answer the Lord Jesus gave to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Giveth life unto the world. Yes, he is the living bread. He is the manna from heaven. The one that the Lord Jesus said here to the people in this church, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. What is overcoming? There'll be a number of ways. In sanctification, it's crucifying the flesh. In justification, we probably could think of it as more of a continuing in the Word and overcoming every lie, every obstacle, all unbelief. The Lord Jesus spoke to some that were described as when they heard the gospel, when they heard the Lord Jesus state, as recorded in John chapter 8, verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Here he's really speaking of his death. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am here. And then, along with it, he said, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And then listen to this. As he spake these words, many believed on him. We would think that takes care of everything. They believed in him, but it did not in the mind of Christ. They had yet overcome. They had overcome a great obstacle within themselves. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and listen carefully to this, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They didn't believe it. They didn't have to be set free. They had the terrible mistake of Judaism at that time, and still there probably today, and many. Said they were Abraham's seed, like they said before John the Baptist, and he reproved them, and he said, don't say we have Abraham to our father. And here they said the same thing. They continued in that wrong understanding of blessing like Abraham or with Abraham. They answered, we are Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Before we can be one with Abraham as a believer, we have to know we're one with Adam as a sinner. In Adam we all died. Only when we know that and then rightly come to Christ in repentance, in humbleness, in acknowledgement that we need to be set free by Christ, by his word, by the Spirit, by God himself, all together. They didn't believe it. They said, we're never in bondage. There's many like that today. They still go under the Abrahamic covenant, thinking they're different. In that covenant, they say, we're different. We don't need what other people need. We don't need it the same way others do to see our bondage. Yes, it's a terrible bondage, especially the bondage of pride. Christ said to some in pride, "Thou that art exalted to heaven shall be brought down to hell." Be more tolerable for Sodom than for them, the people of Capernaum. And here, they said, "We're never in bondage." They argued. They said, "We're not in bondage to any man." Here we have the message to set one free. There are those who proclaim the freeness of the gospel, but sadly, too often, without repentance, without humbling, without knowing their bondage. It's not free to the proud. God resists the proud. Here, he set the gospel before them, and they stayed in their pride. And the end of it was, they murmured, they argued. Once again, the Lord Jesus said, "If the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed." But the first thing that they had to be set free was by his word, to continue in the word, to know their sin, and then to know that full and wonderful need of the Redeemer. Not a half a need, but a full need. And then, finally, they took up stones to stone him. That was the end. They never got to that wonderful manna. They did not want to eat of the Lord Jesus to be set free, to drink of his blood by faith, as he said in the previous chapter, chapter 6. All of that is there, and all of it must be believed together. The whole counsel, not part of it, not skip this or skip that, and set ourselves in a little different place than the rest. Paul said, "Are we better than they?" And he answered, "In no wise. We have together become unprofitable. We together need to repent, come to nothing but sinners, sinners, sinners." And then God gives Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.